Well, that's why we're here today. That's why we'll be here next Sunday. He's alive. 27th chapter of the book of Matthew this morning. We will find our reading there in a few moments. Easter always presents a challenge to me, at least, and I suspect to other pastors as well. Not that it's hard to preach on Easter, but just the right message for the right people at the right time. And I think God has given that to me after prayer. And we're going to be thinking about the miracles of the cross, or on when Christ was on the cross. There are some miracles that are mentioned in the Scripture. We'll be talking about that this morning. And the last one will be the miracle of grace. You'll see that. So last Sunday, we concluded with the disciples, with Christ. They were in the garden. The ear had been severed from the slave, Malchus. The Lord put the ear back on the slave, and Jesus was arrested. It began the rest of the night and into the next morning, some events that had been planned and prepared before the foundation of the world. The disciples and Christ had been in the upper room. Now the arrest has been made, the prayer has been given in the garden, and it was now up to the Jews and the Romans to deal with Christ like they would. After the arrest, he was taken to Caiaphas, the high priest, and it was a mock trial. There would be five others that night, all of them illegal because it was night, and all of them exactly like God had designed it, I suppose. Herod would say that he had a say in the matter. Pilate would have a say in the matter as well. And Pilate was in charge of the Jewish nation, and it was because he was under Caesar, and Caesar had granted him this power, if you will. It was the next morning that he would be given over to the Jews. Pilate would wash his hands, and he would take Christ out to the balcony, and he said, "What would you want me to do?" And he, I think, expected to hear, "Release him and crucify Barabbas." But it was just the opposite. They said, "Release Barabbas, but crucify Jesus." And so Pilate turned Jesus over to the Roman soldiers at that point. And they began the process of beating him and scourging him and mocking him and plaiting the thorns together and pressing them down upon his brow. And finally, they gave him a crucifix, the cross member of the cross. And he was compelled to carry that. It's something like a railroad tie, if you will. And he began his way up the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. And when they got to that place, the criminal had been there before. The executioners were waiting upon whoever was coming, and it was Christ and two other criminals. Along the way, Simon of Cyrene, the Bible says, was coming into town, and it says that he was compelled to help bear the cross on to Calvary, and he did that. And so when they reached the place of crucifixion, the Roman soldiers, the executioners, were awaiting the coming of this Christ and the criminals. It would not have taken very long. Remember, and it's something maybe you're hearing for the first time, he really didn't carry the cross. He was given the cross member, the horizontal piece. And that's what he carried to Calvary. The vertical piece was already in the ground. And Christ was, when he got there, the Roman soldiers placed it on the ground or threw it down on the ground, and Christ was jerked down and his hands were affixed to that wooden cross member. And when that happened, they picked it up and they affixed it to the vertical piece, and they crossed his feet and nailed them all together. And they had done this maybe hundreds of times, many times for sure. They knew their business. They were professionals. And they knew what they were doing. He was quickly nailed, and there was torn flesh and there was bleeding, no doubt. And there was agony and the screams of pain as these were nailed to the cross. And so all of this took place at 9 o'clock. They carried they made their way to the cross. At 9 o'clock, he was nailed and lifted up on the cross. And that's when he began his process of giving up his life. 9 o'clock. Interesting, is it not? Look back into the Old Testament. Do you know what time the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies? Not just the holy place, but into the Holy of Holies? 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, once a year, he would go in with blood into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat, and he would do the work of atonement for the nation for 1 year. Christ is going to cry out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." The thief is going to say, "Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And so 9 turned to 10, and 10 turned to 11, and 11 became 12. And at noon, the first miracle is going to take place on the cross. And we'll read about that. That's where we are in our reading. Stand with me. Matthew 27, beginning with verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, 'This man is calling for Elijah.' Immediately one of them ran, taking a sponge. He filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, 'Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks were split. The tombs were opened. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" You think? Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Father, bless the words that's going to be spoken. Use the things that we'll read. May these moments be so very special to our lives and hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it was noon, and the first miracle occurred, and it was darkness. Can you imagine? Oh, we've got an eclipse coming. About 8 days or so. How long? A couple of minutes. The moon will pass in front of the sun and block things out for a few minutes. At noon, it became dark. And it became so dark that they could not see. The crowds were there and they were watching, but they couldn't figure it out. The soldiers, who had been feeling pretty confident about what they were doing, were there as well, and suddenly darkness. At the noon hour, when it should have been the brightest, it's now dark. Darkness. Think about it. Was it not in Egypt that darkness occurred in the land at the ninth plague? Darkness fell upon all of Egypt. The scripture tells us that where the Jews were, it was not dark there. And the scriptures also tell us that the darkness was a heavy darkness Meaning what? I think it was like being in a cave somewhere. They couldn't see anything. It was that dark. Darkness for that ninth plague, which would bring about the releasing of these many, many Jews in the next day when the plague come, the tenth plague. And that's going to occur as well. Isaiah prepared us that for a lamb that's going to be slain. More than 1 million Jews came out of Egypt that night, that day, that period of time, under the what? Under the blood. They had applied the blood to the doorpost and the lintels of their home. And when they came out under the blood. And now it's dark in Israel, and no one can see. Isaiah will say of this, he will be smitten and afflicted. Isaiah will say that God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And in those moments when he cried, Father, why have you forsaken me? It was something that the world could not understand, and even today, maybe you and I cannot as well. But in those moments, Jesus took the sin of the world, and when he did, the Father could not even look upon his own Son. And so he brought about darkness. Darkness in the middle of the day. Unbelievable. A lamb without spot. A lamb without blemish. Slain so that you and I could have the blood applied to the doorpost of our hearts as well. And we can come out from under the curse of sin because of Jesus and his blood. Well, might the Son in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty Maker died for man, the creature's sin? And he died. And he died upon the cross and he shed his blood. And he did it basically in the dark of the time. The second miracle I read about in this is the miracle that took place in the temple. The Bible tells us in verse 51 that the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. The curtain. We see this. It all happened when he cried out, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. And the veil was rent in two from top to bottom. And don't miss that. It's from top to bottom. There, the reason for the veil was what? So the Jews came out of Egypt. They're camped at Sinai. And God said, I want to meet with my people. And so he instructed Moses to build a what we know as a tabernacle. And the tabernacle was built. It was basically built out of skins. And it was nothing but a tent for the most part. But it was made up of two parts. You would come into the holy place where there was on your left a candelabra, on your right rather, and a table of showbread and a table in the back where offers of incense would come up and the sweet smoke would come up and filter over into the holy of holies where the mercy seat was. But that's what we're talking about, that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. But not that curtain. That curtain is no longer needed. Solomon has built a new temple, did he not? There in Jerusalem, the new temple was built, and it has a curtain separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies where the mercy seat was. The pots of manna, the rod that budded, the law, they're all in there. And here comes the curtain rising up between the two. The Talmud, which I've not read, just telling you what I've been told is in the Talmud. The Talmud says that when Solomon built this curtain, that it was 60 feet high and that it was 40 feet wide, and that it was 4 inches thick. It was not just a little skin of a curtain, not a little thin piece of cloth that separated. This is 60 feet high. The Talmud also says that it required 300 men to priests to lift it up in place and to get it secure in the temple. And so Solomon had built this magnificent temple, and it had this curtain in it. And that curtain, that veil, is what is torn. The curtain was there for what reason? It was there basically to say, People could not come in. Only one man could come in. And that one person was the high priest, and only one time a year. The law said stay out except for one person. The veil is going to be torn. The veil is going to be removed. And now it says the law is gone. Grace is here and everyone can come. And that's the promise and that's the blessing of it. He cried, "It is finished." And the curtain began to tear. And the curtain tore. And the way was open. And now grace says come. The law said stay out. But grace says come. So make your request known and come to the Father. He'll hear every one of them. The third thing I see that says that the earth began to quake. There was a great earthquake. A miracle. We have those all the time. Earthquakes around Arkansas, that's nothing. Earthquakes here, there, and yonder, that's nothing. But in this dark moment in time, in the Middle East, there, in Jerusalem, an earthquake? Yeah. Have you ever noticed that the gospel writers, when they speak about Christ giving up his spirit, they never say he died. They say he gave up his spirit. They didn't take his life. He willingly gave it up. He gave it up because he was going to die for me and for you. And in the darkness of that day, there was a great earthquake. And if you remember, up on the mount that Moses went on, Mount Sinai, there was also, that day when he received the law, there was lightning and thunder, and there was a what? A great earthquake, the Bible says. And the announcement is not about the law. The announcement is about grace. The Messiah has come. The Redeemer is here, and the blood is given. And now man can come boldly to the throne of God by his wonderful grace. And it also says in verse 52, the fourth miracle, that the tombs were opened. And that folks came out of their grave. Did you see that? Have you noticed that? Well, I'm about to wade off in something I don't know a lot about. But I'm going to tell you what I think. Okay? The graves were open. They were open when the earthquake shook that place. And Christ had already said, "It is finished." And I'm just going to give you a personal opinion about what I think occurred after that. Because the Bible just tells us that there were those that were resurrected and they walked around Jerusalem. But they opened, the earthquake came, and the graves opened at the sound of his voice, "It is finished." So, let's not embellish this too terribly much. He said, "It's finished." He'll be taken from the cross and put in a tomb. Friday will conclude, and all night, Friday night, and all day, Saturday, silent Saturday is what I call it. Then early on the next morning, Sunday morning, Christ is gone, and the tomb is open, and things are different now. And the bodies there that are resurrected are coming out of the grave. Now, this is what I think. I think they came out after his resurrection, not before. The Bible says that he is the first fruits of those that believe. He was resurrected first. And if you noted in verse 53, it said these words, "And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection." Do you see that? So the graves were open, but they remained, in my opinion, there until Christ came out of the grave on that first Easter Sunday morning. And when up from the grave they arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes, yeah, that's what happened. He arose the victor of the dark domain. He lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. He arose. And at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Sunday, I think the graves that were open, the bodies that were in those graves came out with Christ that Sunday morning. Those saints came and they walked up and down the streets of Jerusalem. And one of two things then happened to them, I think. So here's one. They either went with Christ to the throne in heaven where he sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat. Can you prove that? No. Or, secondly, they became like Lazarus. They were alive and they were to live a while longer and then they would die again. And then they're now awaiting the resurrection, the sound of the trumpet. I think it's one of the two things. I don't know which it is, and I'm not sure about all of that. But I think that's what happened to them. The dead in Christ will be raised, and I think it may include them. What a miracle it was. What a wonderful time it was. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sun refusing to shine. The veil in the temple torn in two. The earth shook, and the rocks were torn in two, and the tombs were opened, and the graves were opened, and when they did, there folks came out of those things. And here's the last one this morning, the fifth miracle. It has to do with the centurion. The centurion. It's our last verse. It says, now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake, and the things that were happening, I've already described them, they became very frightened and said, truly, this is the Son of God. Truly, this is the Son of God. That centurion, could he be the same one, perhaps, that was standing there early when Christ was placed on the cross? Could it be the same one that heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Could it be the one who heard the thief ask the Lord to be remember him and the Lord saying to him, today you will be with me in paradise? Could it be the same centurion who heard Jesus say, take care of my mother and take care of her for me to marry. Woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy woman. Could it be the same centurion who cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me just before things went dark? Could it be the same one that heard that? Could it be the one that heard, I thirst? Could it be the one who heard him say, I am, or it is finished? Not I am finished, but it is finished. The payment has been made. The darkness of 3 hours. And the centurion has witnessed it all. And perhaps the centurion said, Rome or no Rome, Caesar or no Caesar, surely this was the Son of God. And experienced grace that day. The greatest miracle of all, the miracle of grace. The greatest miracle, standing there observing one who's giving his life for as a ransom for you and me and for him. Surely, if he trusted Christ and believed that he was the Christ, he's going to be and is in heaven right now, awaiting the coming of the rest.